I love drama, especially. I mean, normally I'm the one that's provoking all the shit, but I was happy to see someone else.
Hi, sure. Welcome to RR Art Podcast. I'm with my friend Jonathan Wolf. We're artists, and this is our podcast we have together. And we are joined with the super amazing, awesome Ashley Ramos from Nifty Gateway and the super, really super awesome Kenny Schachter. Hi!
What's up?
Not much.
It's cold in here. Put my sweater on. Where is everybody?
I'm located in Canada. I'm in Calgary, way up north.
Gotcha. Yeah.
I'm located in Seattle.
Amazing.
I am in Copenhagen, Denmark.
How was that? What are you doing there?
I have family here. So when we went work remote, I came to Canada. Oh, really? I came over here.
Nice.
That's awesome. This is so cool to have you on here. Like, it's a surreal feeling for sure. I really admire your writing about art and how, like, honest you are about it. I think that's like a really useful tool for someone in my spot.
Thank you. But I think it's so cool that, like, I mean, the art world is so exclusionary and so snooty. And it's funny because I've been making digital art for longer than all of you have been alive cumulatively. I'm so old. But like, this is the perfect convergence of two different worlds. And the traditional art world is mental if they think that NFTs and this whole universe is a bubble. It was so funny. I saw that you were in this Clubhouse NFT talk last night, and someone who's has a museum in Chelsea, they put me in some other Clubhouse without even telling me or asking me. Some guy who owns a museum in Chelsea. And when I finished with the NFT thing, which actually I asked you a few questions about the vibe that was going down there last night, in another time maybe.
Yeah.
You got elbowed out of that right in the middle of your sentence. But that was fun. I love drama, especially. I mean, normally I'm the one that's provoking all the shit, but I was happy to see someone else in the middle of some crazy drama. But anyway, like, then I got into this other, I went over to the other Clubhouse, and this guy who's this rich, rich, rich collector, and he's like, oh, these NFTs, it's a niche. It's not, they're just like, and I say to these people, don't be stupid. You dismiss it at your own. This has been coming since, people have been making digital art since the 60s, and this is the first time in history there's a democratic, progressive way to sell these things and to disseminate them. Okay, I'm finished.
Do you think it's because of age, or just their investments are tied into physical, or where does this come from, the anger?
It's funny, that's a great question. I mean, the thing is, like, I was giving another lecture in Zurich. I teach at University of Zurich, and there was an article in the FT, in the Financial Times, there's like one famous economist who deals with the art world. Her name is Claire McAndrew, and she did a study, and there were 3,000 collectors in the world that spend like over $1 million on contemporary art regularly. And then she said that of the 3,000, 1,500 are in New York City, which is kind of crazy, and 90% of them have looked at art online, but only 20% of them have bought art online. And I called her up and I said, I bet all these people that you spoke to were old.
Yeah.
So in a way, I think that there's definitely an age divide, because people like in your, I have, you know, people in younger generations, let's say diplomatically. So young people used to think, like, when I get my driving license, everybody wanted a car. They wanted a car because it symbolized freedom, mobility, get away from your family, just go. And now people think of, like, why would you own a car when you could just get an app and share, get a car and like get it for a ride and that's it. So I think there's definite, and also I have, like, I'm one of the few people, I have to say, that is like, I'm in the art world up to my neck. I never counted until like a few weeks ago. One of my storages alone has 1,600 art pieces. Mm-hmm. I have like 20 something, whatever. And I'm not flexing because half of them are crap. Indiscriminate buying for decades. But there's definitely a generations of people from your world that hate galleries, don't go to galleries. It's not on their radar. They don't care. Because the art world has always been preaching exclusivity. This is only for rich people, mainly like rich white guys. This is only for people that are intellectual enough to understand. And the thing is, like, I've always said, like, the art world has been painting itself into a corner for like hundreds of years and trying to, like, you know, alienate itself from regular people that justify spending like, you know, $5 million on some scribbles on a canvas. And in a way, I think there's definitely an age, not just age, it's the mentality, because there's a lot of, like, you know, entrepreneurs in the tech sector, and they immediately understand what this is all about, from Elon Musk to a million, billion other people. But I think what people in the fine art world, the fine art world is the most conservative industry. I've been a lawyer, I've been in the fashion world, I've been in a million different businesses. And I thought when I was in school, I had this vision that everyone in the art world was drinking absinthe, hanging from the chandelier and fucking each other, excuse my language. And it was shocking to go into the fine art world and see that it's the most boring, backwards looking, conservative business in the world. So the art world could either get NFTs or not, but if they refuse, if they don't acknowledge it, they're doing it at their own expense. Stupid. Right.
Do you remember the first time you saw the shift from the traditional art world to the, like, NFT side? Like, when did you first hear about it?
Well, I mean, I mean, strangely enough, I personally have been making digital art since the 90s. I had a website in 1995, and I was making art on computer prints and then painting over it and making videos. Always use, like, now I make digital videos, and before, and I make like digitally manipulated photographic work that I used to always just print out at a traditional photo lab and print out the JPEGs onto aluminum, or I would sell a memory stick with a loop of like five videos on it. And I'm not talking like, I'm talking like, I did not hear the word NFT until September. And when I heard it, I turned my head sideways like a dog that doesn't understand the command. I had no idea. And then someone tried to explain it to me and my eyes crossed. I just could not. I was like, what the fuck are you talking? I just don't understand what you're talking about. Then my friend told me Kenny Scharf made some. And Kenny and I, besides sharing nine letters in our names, we've been friends for years. And I'm like, fuck, if he's doing it, I want to do it. I make digital art and I'm sick of, like, I don't want to print photographs on aluminum for the rest of my life. And I don't want to sell memory. I bought three DVDs. I collected 2,500 art pieces. I've had two online sales at Sotheby's just to sell bits and pieces of my own art and parts of my collection. But I bought three DVDs and I lost every one of them. I mean, I'm not even talking about certificates of authenticity or, you know, proof JPEG. I'm talking about, like, video art, which I make. The only ones I ever bought in my collection, I lost. So the second I kind of understood it, like, I was introduced to one of the curators at Nifty, and I heard about it in September. I released three pieces in December. They all sold really quickly, even though a lot of people just flipped them right back onto the market, which is totally, I mean, and also this gets rid of so many underlying moral issues in the art world, which is, like, artists get money when their art resells. It's beautiful. You don't do anything. Who cares if people, a lot of people in the art world freak out when people resell their work and, like, oh, I'm not going to sell it to this person because they've sold stuff. I mean, if you buy something, you should do whatever the hell you want with it. It's your prerogative. If you want to flip it, sure, you don't want to sell all your stuff to people that don't care about it. It's better that someone hangs on to it and appreciates it. But I personally don't give a crap what anyone does with my stuff. But anyway, this is a funny story. Like, so I did NFTs with Nifty, which was a beautiful experience. And because I'm not so crypto-minded personally, though I'm friendly with Mike Novogratz, who has a hedge fund, Galaxy, for crypto stuff. And he's really wildly like involved in it and has been for a long time. When you could like hook up your Nifty account to your checking account and the money comes, like real money comes into your account, I was like, woohoo, money. I understand that. So then like I wrote an article. I thought I was just giving a quote, but I wrote a little article and I gave a forecast for 2021. And I wrote it in like November, and it was printed in the art newspaper in December. And I said to all these snotty little art world people, I said, NFTs are going to be the shit. Everyone is going to be talking. And I didn't even know that, like, literally from December to today, if I see one more Clubhouse about NFTs, I'm going to quit Clubhouse.
Yeah, even this past week, it's like blown up so much more.
Yeah, this whole Christie's people thing. And then the art newspaper did another article and they featured one of my NFTs in the article. And then it reminds me, like, I don't mean to like belittle the tragedy of COVID and how it's affected our lives. I've had it myself. My kids have had it. So, but like, you don't think in your life that one day you're living your life normally, everything is cool. And then all of a sudden a new thing, like people are so resistant to change. You don't think that like all of a sudden there's a word introduced into our language and the whole world has been affected with this virus, this disease. Everyone is wearing a mask. We'll never be able to go on an airplane for the rest of our lives without a mask. No one is ever going to forget the impact that, but like NFT, I have never seen a technology like this. And crypto, like you could talk about Bitcoin forever, but like Bitcoin doesn't have very many practical applications, but like NFTs and Ethereum and the way that people buy them, it's not going to happen. It happened. And it's never going to stop. And you look at an artist like David Hockney, he's like 90 years old. And the guy is so progressive. He makes iPad drawings all the time. Well, they should never just sell an iPad print ever again without an NFT attached to it. It makes no sense. So I've been shocked. I've never seen something in my entire life that's taken hold as swiftly as this, like the crypto punks. And I'm going to write an article myself that comes out next week. I want to curate an NFT show, which I would love for you to be into.
Please. Oh my God.
I'm just like, I think I was just teaching a class at NYU this afternoon, and it was about the history of design, architecture, industrial design. And we spent half the class talking about NFTs. That's all they wanted to hear about.
Wow.
And I knew more about it than they did. And I'm like, you guys are the kids. I'm the one who's old and I'm teaching you about NFTs. You should be teaching me about it. Okay, let me take a breath. You just wind me up and I just spew.
No, it's like, so cool to hear that from you. Like such a presence in the art space. It's like, yes, you see us. And I feel like it's me and my friends and the other OGs who've been doing this for years. Before like the Nifty and the Super Rare, those platforms existed, they've been trying to do it and now it's happening. And it's so validating to see someone like you like totally take it on and say, hell yeah.
When did you find out about it? Don't tell me when you were like 12, because I'm going to strangle you.
No, I found out about it last year. I sold a painting for $90 and the person who bought it said, oh, I love your paintings, but I'd like to collect your digital art that you do on your iPad. And Amazing. Then he linked me to NFT art.
Amazing. And what was the platform that you first found out about before Rarible, Nifty and all that stuff?
It was Super Rare. Super Rare was the first one I ever went in.
Amazing. And how do you decide like which ones? I know we have a Nifty gatewayer. So we'll stay on topic, but like, how do you decide?
No. We just said this earlier. It's like a non-compete, and that's what's beautiful. This is like in the traditional art world, if you're in the same state as another gallery, you know, there's all of this beef amongst representation. For us, even in our collective drop that we have coming up, I had a lot of conversation was like, hey, this is a great concept and you guys should take this and move this forward in other, you know, other drops that you do on other platforms. So we don't believe in like a, we are the singular platform. We are the most curated platform and we could take ownage of that. But outside of that, this community is robust with or without us. So we just, you know, we respect that.
I think that's like a move in the right direction. So you don't repeat the traditional gallery flaws, right?
This is, no, I'm agreeing with you. This is for me. I mean, I was just saying this to the, like, this is to me the most important thing about this revolution, and it's nothing less. The exclusivity, the kind of, the galleries have one power, like it used to be the critics were really important in the art world, and then they lost the power to the collectors, and the collectors had all the thing, and now the galleries control access. And I've heard crazy stories. I'm not going to drop the names because some of them own some of my art, but there's one gallery, like in California, and like some collector who's an agent in the entertainment business went to the gallery and said, I want to buy one of this artist that you represent. And the dealer turned around and said to this woman, who's a successful woman, and said, you spend a year looking at art and you don't buy anything. And then you come back to me in a year and talk to me, and then we'll talk about if I'll sell you this piece. Or another dealer, may have even been the same person. This is all between us, of course. And you could buy this painting you want if you buy a lamp that the artist also made. So like the control that the galleries like decide who gets to buy something. And it's like in the kind of, like it's a zero sum game. Like you could buy this if you buy that, or this one could buy one, but another one can't. I've never seen a business in the world. Imagine if like a fashion designer was like, you're not the right person for this shirt or something. I mean, that the art world is predicated on this kind of mentality. And I think it's just bullshit. And like, I love Instagram because Instagram, there's not one website that deals with art. Like Artsy, and you may have heard of, and ArtNet I write for, they all suck. They're all terrible. The only technology site up until NFTs that has ever had an impact on the world of art is Instagram, and that was just by accident. And it's opened up the GI, it's crushed, like the map is now, we're right now, we're in all different parts of the world, literally. And like, yeah. it doesn't matter. You used to have to send a photographic image from one gallery to another, like an artist, if they wanted to have your work seen, you would have to have a little photographic slide the side of one of the little squares on top of the screen, and you'd have to send in the mail a sheet of 20 slides and hold it up to the light. And that was the only way to communicate a visual image. And now you could be in Asia, Africa, South America, North America, Europe, and it's really democratized communication visually. So, I mean, it's unbelievable. It's such a cool world that we live in. And the opportunities for people of all walks of life, you don't have to come from a rich background. You don't have to go to the Yale or the right school. You could be anyone from anywhere that does something that people respond to. And that's beautiful. And, you know, people just forget it's about fun. It's about love. And it's about passion and people just getting together and doing great things and appreciating it.
Right. You mentioned when you got into art, you were an outsider. I think you're like your mid-20s, started collecting and getting interested and being exposed to this whole world. Do you have that same feeling now kind of repeating itself with like crypto based?
You know, it's such a cool question. The fact is like I've had, because I get to write. So when people do horrible, shitty things to me, I kind of like laugh because I could just take out, I write so I can have a platform to get back. I hold a grudge forever. And I make videos about all these people in the art world all the time. Like I'm having this clubhouse with this guy called Stefan Simkowitz on Saturday. And I made a video of us mud wrestling together. And he's just he's such a bully. And he's always starting fights with people. But like I love art. That's plain and simple. And with all the shit that's happened to me, and I've had terrible. People try to cancel me online because of my writing. I've had death threats, people trying to beat me up in restaurants in Hong Kong, in New York City. I've had people accusing me of like crazy behavior to try to get me canceled, literally. But I have never to this day, I don't differentiate between loving digital art, NFT. For me, NFT is just a dissemination, a system to deliver art. NFT is not anything, it's your art. If your art sucks, you're not gonna be, NFT isn't gonna help you. So I have, I am so excited. Like right now the hair is standing up on my arm because I just love what you guys are doing so much. Each and every one of you in this room, it's like, it's changing my life, but in the same, I have not lost my passion or enthusiasm and the curiosity and the just like the chills that I get. It has not changed from the first day I went to a gallery, and I didn't even know galleries existed until I was like in my 20s. And I think that's what gives me such a fresh outlook on life and art, because in the art world, they're always telling you, you can't do this, you can't do that, you shouldn't do it this way, you shouldn't talk about this. Oh, you can't mention that in your writing. You can't, you know what, you can do whatever you want if you're not breaking the law or hurting anybody. And I love to communicate with people. I work by myself. I kind of live by myself. And like Instagram is, it's not just a fake friends and a fake community. I've met hundreds of people in real life that have literally had such a tremendous impact on every day of my life, and all of it, like, you know, meeting you guys and being here, it just, it makes me so excited and so happy. And I'm as passionate today as you could see from me blabbing on and on. You know, I just, I'm very optimistic. And if people dismiss NFTs and this whole thing, they're idiots. That's, life is not about closing things down before you know about it and give it a chance, you know?
Right. How do your colleagues react to this? I know I saw, I think, yeah, Jerry Saltz tweet about it.
Stupid.
And
stupid man. Stupid. That's a perfect, you know what? Human nature, when something new comes along or something uncomfortable or unfamiliar, your first inclination is to like put up the defense. Jerry Saltz saying that he doesn't know fucking people from a hole in the wall. Sure, you may. I guarantee you he looked at one piece or two pieces, but like, you know, the guy's been making art. He made a piece every day for what, 13 years and made 650 million. You know, you have to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I hate sweeping generalizations. How could you say blockchain is stupid, Beeple is an idiot and makes bad art? Who the fuck do you think? You just can't talk like that. You just, you know, it just shows ignorance and narrow minded. That's what makes this, that's the bad part of politics and like, human nature wants to shut things down and dismiss them because they're jealous, they're scared, they feel left out. They think that it's something that they're incapable of understanding or appreciating. But there's going to be, you know, maybe a CryptoPunk isn't like the Vincent van Gogh of digital art, but historically you can't dismiss the fact that it's the first. And the way that they were created using these like, you know, algorithms or AI to create these random, take these features and turn them into characters, that's history. And the Museum of Modern Art is gonna be down with all this stuff. So I think Jerry Saltz, I've known him for 30 years. You know, he says nice things about me. I've written about him. Some of the things he says, I think are just asinine and we fight. Like, just cause you're not involved in a certain commercial system or on board with digital art, you can't just say it's nothing because it's nothing to you. I mean, and also I'm always interested in increasing the audience for art because art is a language and a means of communication, and art should be, I mean, if we had an artist running this country, we'd be in a lot better place, you know? So I just think that people should just give it a chance for Christ's sakes, because it ain't going anywhere. And that I can tell all these snooty people, and like last night with all these older museum people, and it's like, it's not a niche thing. You're in a niche thing. That's, I just thought of that like as I'm talking to you, but these people don't understand. They're the niche. Right. This is something that could talk to so many. And look, what is contemporary art? It's a reflection of our time, technology, social, political, economic circumstances. And again, like, you know, it's like not reading the newspaper or not reading a history book, because this is history in real time and this is the future. It's the now. It's not the future. It's the now. 100%.
Yeah. That makes me feel like I'm already confident in my decision to like pursue this career. Originally I'm a painter. I still am, but I wanted to pursue the normal gallery route because that's what painters do, right? Exactly. But yeah, being in this scene and hearing you say that and seeing the milestones be broken and proving to myself that like, this is a, like, I don't have to be in a gallery. Like, yeah, I'm making the best art now that I did my whole life because I'm able to now. Right. So I don't know. It just makes me hopeful as well.
Can you do me a favor? And like, I just met you. So I would love to find out. I mean, every time I give a lecture, every time I talk, I say, send me a DM. I get 50 DMs a day. Oh, can you look at my work? Can you give me advice? Can you tell me what websites you read in the morning? I have a friend who was struggling. And then he won the Turner Prize, like the biggest prize in the UK. And then he got, we were still really friendly. Then he married I'm spilling the bean. He married let's say Rupert Murdoch's daughter. And he has his assistant call me up and said, he would like to catch up with you. And I'm like, you know, it takes just as much energy to tell someone, to call your friend to say you would like to catch up with them as it would to just say, hey, let's catch up. So I just think to be human, I mean, I think NFTs and all this community, it's, you know, when you get to, forget the technology, it's secondary. This is people making stuff that is being appreciated and shared. And this technology is a tool that gives you the means to reach the broadest possible audience. And it's bringing generations of people. You know, people don't understand galleries have been around as we know them, 125 years or something. It's just a drop in the bucket in the big scheme of things. And galleries discourage you. Galleries tell you, you can't do this. You're not as good as this. What makes some artists sell for $1 million when they're making paintings when they're 25 or something? I mean, it's a world of no. It's a world of shutting people down and scaring people and turning people away. And it should just be the what you do should just speak for itself. And NFTs and Nifty Gateway and these sites are tools and the best tools I've ever seen to have work seen by as many people. And what I love especially about Nifty Gateway and these sites, there's no bullshit. It's just the art. And then you buy it and then you sell it if you want to sell it. And no one is judging who you are, what you look like. I wear Adidas old vintage track pants every day of my life. I have been turned away from galleries, turned away from restaurants, not even let in the door. Go to Hauser and Wirth Gallery and ask them how much a painting costs. They will just make 5 phone calls and you'll see a look of shock and horror on their face. That's not what life is about. Life is about being human, and being human is technology is human. There wouldn't be technology or artificial intelligence or Nifty Gateways or NFTs without people that are just finding more efficient means of communicating with one another and spreading the visual word.
Right.
Sound like I'm religious.
I get it though. Like I've had so many friends that I've put onto this. I know Ferocious, they've helped so many people get started. That's how I got into it. And a million other people, it's because of Ferocious. So,
so cool.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. It comes off as religious-ish weirdness, but it does change lives. I don't care.
It gives my life meaning. I lost my mom when I was very young. I lost one of my kids almost 2 years ago. And if it wasn't for art, I wouldn't be sitting here talking to you. It's given me hope. I communicate with my kids with it. It's my life. And talking to you guys, there's no difference between speaking to you guys or speaking to Andy Warhol or Pablo. It's just life. And it's just people finding a coinciding spheres of interest. I don't care if you make art with a canvas, with a digital, with a computer. Since it came off the wall of a cave, it's been coveted. And NFTs are the logical continuity of a cave drawing, plain and simple. There's no difference. We're just using the means that are, I remember when I was a teeny little tiny kid, there were Heathway kits. The first computers were these kits that Wozniak bought and created the first Apple computer came from one of these Heath kits that you would put computers together. And it's they're just like a paint and pigment or drawing. They're just ways of human expression and communication. So, and then I think it's really great that we're not going to have to rely on some of these dickheads, excuse my language again. Like, if I want to buy something, I'm going to buy it and I'll find a way to do it. If I can't buy it from some snotbag gallerist, then I'll just buy it at Sotheby's, Christie's, Phillips, online auction or wherever. And that's, you know, I hate that hypocrisy in the art world. That's what really riles me up. And I mean, yeah, all my writing is about just being honest. And because I'm honest, people try to kill me and sue me. But all I'm doing is telling them my truth in the way that I best know how. And I incorporate digital art into my articles in a way that really hasn't been done before by, you know, I'm making a little digital horror movie now where my art collection turns into a transformer and like suffocates me because I have so much stuff. It's good. Like, it's really, I wish I hadn't bought like 2,500 art pieces. I wish I had like 500 NFTs instead with a few paintings on the wall. And also like that whole kind of lack of physicality is, you know, look, I love, as you could see, like I love to be surrounded by art and nothing, I'll always love being surrounded by art, but this is just another way of like, of experiencing art.
You have any plans? Do you have NFTs? Have you collected yet?
I literally just started. So I'm just sniffing around. A friend of mine, it's really funny because I'm going to curate a show of NFTs. So if you guys could help me, I'm going to do a book. I'm writing an article for ArtNet, which is going to come out like in a week if I can get my shit together. But then I want to curate a show. And I hooked up with, it's so funny. Someone, a friend of mine, his mom makes NFTs. Her name is The Blue Jays. And she made a figure that kind of looked like a crypto guy. She made a portrait of me and gave it to me. And then I posted it on my Instagram and someone tried to buy it. I thought it was so funny. But I want to put her into the show and make like an old Phobosius, like an old version of you. Like what, I mean, age has nothing to do with it. Like I found an artist who I call an emerging artist on Instagram. I've never met her. And I wrote her an email after I found her. I bought some of her art for $500. And I'm like, are you old? Are you young? Do you have kids? Are you straight? Are you gay? Like I just wanted the whole biography of this person. And she was 64 years old. I've created opportunities for her online through Instagram, through my website. We've sold like 50 pieces to people like the Rothschild family, all of these like great traditional like art collecting people, but loads of new people. Like when I had my auction at Sotheby's, I had no reserve. So any price, the highest bid would take the art if it was $300. A lot of people criticized me, but 50% of the buyers were new buyers that never would dream of going to Sotheby's. I love to create opportunities for people to have access to things they want to have without any kind of boundaries and stuff. Anyway, that woman is now 65 and she's getting all kinds of, she's an emerging artist and I've changed her life and she changed my life. And now she's even making digital art, which is shocking. It's so good. Her name is Eva Berrison. You'll love it. It's so over the top and it's so good and so fresh. And like, so I just think like what I love about these kind of technologies are, it's not about your skin. Like now it's very cynical that, I mean, it's incredible that there's so many opportunities for women artists, artists of color, artists with different sexual inclinations. But also there's something really gross when galleries are trying to sell art based on like, oh, this is a black artist. Oh, this, you know, it's like, and I love like art is art. And people, one of my best friends with this Iraqi architect, Zaha Hadid, and she would hate if you would call her an Arab woman architect. She was a star and that was it, a genius, a pure genius. And I just think like, you know, in the future when there's less and less racism in the world, these things will, you'll never have to categorize people and you'll just let people be who they are, you know? Sorry, I have a tendency.
No, this is great. Like,
ask me some, I love your comments. So what else are you thinking about? I want to see your art.
Awesome. Yeah, I got a whole list of questions here. The past like couple days I've just like listened to you speak for hours. So it's weird actually speaking to
when
you.
I told JW that this was gonna happen, he was like, really? And then today he said, I listened to 5 hours of you talking.
Yeah, I'm like, painting.
That's
great.
Why I make this emoji. Like I'm always saying sorry.
No, I love it. So I'm 21 and I'm in university for painting, but because of COVID, it shut down and it's all online. But I refuse to take online painting courses, like waste of money. And the reason I go to art school is for the community. So it's like, I'm not going to do it online. It just doesn't exist, right?
You just take a YouTube thing. You don't need it.
Yeah, exactly. So like, I don't know, like hearing you talk and speak was like very reminiscent of art school, and it like was comforting and it was really motivating as well.
I love to inspire people. I think like I get as much of a high from like inspiring people and as to do getting things for myself. I just think like, that's why I always tell people, please contact me. Please feel free to DM me. Like, I just think there's so few people in the art world that are just kind and open and helpful to other people. And like someone like you, like I would help you in any way I can. I don't think you guys certainly don't need much of my help, but like, why not bridge the audiences and like bring your audience, like the NFT audience, to help me and my art. And then like, I'm gonna be like proselytizing for the rest of my life, talking about Bant's grandstanding, how great I think this technology is, because the resistance just pisses me off and gets me fired up. I love it when there's like, you know, people are pushing back, because it's sad in a way for them, but it just fires me up and makes me want to, you know, speak about it more and encourage people.
It's crazy. Like me and Jonathan Wolf, our painter friends, when we would talk about going into the NFT space, they were like, what is that? And it's nowhere on the scale of you. But even now, they still bother us about this, chasing this NFT space and pushing it, when it's like, it's not about the money. It's not about that. It's like that digital artist that was stuck doing client work all the time because they didn't want to paint. That's not what they wanted to do. They expressed themselves through video, through animation, doing what they want to do, 3D rendering. They don't want to do client work. They want to express themselves, and they were never allowed. And NFT space is like that gateway. Like they can finally do that. And it doesn't make sense to me, all this pushback. Like what you're saying, it's just a medium for this art to be sold and stuff. And it's just art. It's not anything else. And I hate that people get like pushback.
People are scared and they don't want to lose their power. Like it's about turn. And galleries will think like, you know, they want to control. That's like the worst parts of human nature. Like with politics, you see it, and always trying to put up boundaries, keeping people out and making these, you know, so I think people are scared that, you know, the artist can go direct by using these platforms. You don't need to suck up to a gallery or to anyone else. You just do it and then you can get it out and have it seen immediately. And either people get it, like it, buy it, or don't. But you don't have to rely on the whims of other people to give you permission to do what you want to do.
Yeah, you know? It makes perfect sense. To me, that there's kickback, it makes perfect sense, because what we're doing is we're showing a community that is existing right now and is governed off of the principles that a gallery and everybody who kisses the ass of the gallery structure is the only people that have control within one community. And we're disproving that model. We're quite literally saying you don't need to do that. An artist just needs to be talented, foster their own social network and their own buyer base, and you can go to market on your own with the slightest help from a producer, you know? And so then once you prove that that's possible, it shakes, or it competes with a pre-existing structure. But what I would like to see is for it not to be where it's like, well, I do it this way or you do it this way. It's like, we are in completely different lanes, right? This is just a different medium of art. And a sculptor doesn't need to compete nor compare with a classical painter by any means. So we don't need to compete or compare. And if, for me, quite frankly, if the art world doesn't get it, good riddance. Like for it, we're better off. Like I would prefer, I had never, and even just like what happened in the clubhouse yesterday, that was my first experience with like aggression or confrontation in my workspace. Since joining the NFT world and leaving the traditional art world, I have not had a day where I was categorized, I was put in a bracket, I was misspoken to, or I was made to feel insignificant. So for the purely just so that I had to prove my significance to another person, this community is rid of that. It's all about support, inclusion, love, fostering new connections. Hey, how can I lift you up? Hey, how can I help you? So for me, it's like, it's a shame that they're not understanding it. Like people from the traditional world, there are those innovative thinkers that will get it once they're educated enough. And so at Nifty Gateway, our goal is just to help educate as much as we can. But for those who don't get it, it's like, okay, oh, well, this is happening with or without you. So jump on if you want. But
I love a good fight though. I like to see people throw it down a little bit. I love to stir the shit up. It's more fun. But that's going to happen. It isn't going to stop. People, that's just the way people are. They get scared and they get protective of their, you know, like peeing on a tree just to, you know, keep the other dogs away. So it's not going to, and especially when the numbers get bigger, there's going to be more jealousy and more animosity. It's going to mushroom.
Yeah, you just got to triumph it with love and support. Just
people will be threatened, and like people will think of this, like I said, a zero sum where one person advances at the expense of another person. So that's just going to happen, but it's not going to affect the overall situation.
Yeah, I think you'll fit in. Like, I mean, you're already part of the community, but like that attitude works so well within the community that it, yeah, it's a perfect fit for you to join it. Like, it makes total sense to me.
Well, I'm ready. I want to have a seat at the table. I mean, I'm telling you, I just literally, my whole NYU class is now half history of design. And the rest is, and I'm like, you go find great NFT artists and dig.
That's
and dig
so cool.
And learn and let's teach each other, because that's, you know, that's part of contemporary society and about philosophy, sociology, economics. It's all just where the world is going. And it's like, it's just like I said, like reading the daily newspaper, it's learning about the capacity of people to create new ways of communicating and expressing themselves. And, you know, as someone who's been making content, but not having a steady way to sell it and market it, I mean, you know, buying and selling art has been the only way that I've been able to find to make a living in my life, because I never had a means to sell my work unless I had to rely on having a gallery show, in which case, like, there's not that many collectors that are going to buy them. Like, all my videos you can see for free on Vimeo and YouTube, because it's so important to me to have my work seen by people. And I don't want to control, you know, if someone wants to buy it, first, to be honest, like, the past couple of years, I've been having some bigger shows, and I feel guilty when someone buys the video stick, because I'm like, you know, you could just like, this shit is free. Like, if you want to, but like, to find a way to sell the NFTs of my, I have a huge archive of work, and this could, you know, it's changing people's lives and giving people the economic freedom not to be reliant on doing things they don't want to do the things they want to do. And that's really kind of extraordinary.
Yeah, me and Fulcious can both back that up. Like, we didn't have to go the traditional gallery route. We don't have to like make album covers for bands anymore or anything like that. We can like spend a month on a piece and be rewarded for making an awesome piece of artwork and putting it out there.
I think like the old first of all, like, I hate the word even galleries. Galleries are fucked. I just think like their attitude is terrible. It's not progressive. It's not supportive. It's all about control and keep. And I think that like, I was so disappointed. I mean, my one major disappointment in my whole career has been how backwards the art world is and how resistant it is to change. And that to me has been just, I can't believe it. I mean, it's crazy that like since COVID, the whole art world has been had their back pushed in the corner. The only way they could communicate, or I mean, here's something that's crazy. I mean, I just think like, you know, an online viewing room is considered to be progress in the art world. And I can't even say it's a glorified website because it's a website. It's nothing. What is an online viewing room? There's no, they should have technologies already existing where you can have like a virtual tour through a space. I have a friend who invented a way to like, you know, take a sculpture and put your phone over it and you could place it in your room and see it dimensionally and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, I just think, yeah, galleries are just the galleries as we know them, they have to stop. I mean, this is a time where they have to change and morph with the times and react to where technology is going. And it's not like an online viewing room is mental. It's like a Model T Ford. It's ludicrous. That's ridiculous. Makes no sense.
Yeah, everyone I know has that. Like, that's just a website. Like, I know like 15-year-old artists with a website.
Yeah, there's one crazy thing. Like Sotheby's, when Sotheby's and Christie's couldn't conduct auctions anymore, and Patrick Drahi, who bought Sotheby's, is very technologically minded, they started streaming the auctions, and it's just an auctioneer, and there are people on phone banks picking up the phone and wielding bids from people. And the most shocking thing since the crisis has been that the audience for the last Sotheby's sale was 1,300,000 people. That's crazy. And they're just watching conspicuous, they're not even watching people buy shit. I'd rather watch someone at like a Bloomingdale's department store buy a sweater than seeing someone buy something. They're just seeing people on the phone buying stuff. But that shows you what a hunger people have for more art content, more participation between the commercial and the actual content. The audience is bigger today. It's grown more in the past 25 years because of Instagram and social media than the past 250 years. And for the first time in the world, Africa, Asia, all of these different continents can equally participate with no barriers to entry like used to happen where you'd have to be in New York. None of they wouldn't, like if this was 10 years ago, 15 years ago, you couldn't even be in the art world without being in London or New York. And LA only popped up in the last 5 years for galleries and stuff. But like, we're seeing the beginning of nothing less than a full-blown revolution in not just digital art, but art.
It's so weird. When I was little, even like—
When you were little,
I'm still little. But like when I was like 10, when I would think about artists and art history, I was like, I don't know. That's just how, like, what happened? And it's like this mystical story that I heard told to me. But now I'm getting older. I'm like, oh, wait, art is like, I'm alive right now and art is happening and NFTs is happening. And I'm part of it. Wait. And then I have this whole realization.
I was so naive. I thought that an artist made art and it went to a museum. I had no idea
Me too.
That there was any stream of, I'm not kidding, until I was 26, because that was before you have communication at your fingertips. I went to college and I did not know that. I thought like Andy Warhol made a painting and it went to the museum. And then when he died, I stumbled into his estate sale at Sotheby's and it was a collection of Jean-Michel Basquiat and all this stuff. And I was like, I can't believe that they sell art. I was shocked. I had an epiphany. It was like, then I went to a gallery and took out an unsecured loan and borrowed money from a bank after they threw me out. And I got my employer to vouch for me. And then they reconsidered. And then I just bought art. I just had to have it. I couldn't believe I could own art. And it's just what you say, like, you know, where art is nothing different than like waking up and living your life. That's art. If you do it in an artful way, and we're all part of the discourse and the history of it by doing it. And it's true. I was so naive. And I have to, one other thing, like in a way, like the first art history class I was ever in, I was teaching. And I'm so glad that I never worked my way up to this terrible system of shackles, because I wouldn't have the outlook I have or be sitting here if I wasn't naive to the art, because the art world beats you down. I curated a show called Unlearning and I studied Islam in college, and there were these peasants in Afghanistan. They never took a class in their life and they learned verbatim 300 pages of the Quran because their mind was not stuffed with shit. meaningless trigonometry and calculus and all of these things. You can't do this, you have to do this, you have to do that. But like you, like what you said before about why would you pay 30 grand to take a Zoom class, which is bullshit. And I mean, like, if you have a path, the only thing you can't learn on your own is how to be a doctor or a pilot, pretty much. Or like, you know, but pretty much if you have the passion and the desire and the enthusiasm, that's no match for a PhD at Harvard. I'm sorry. All you need is the desire and the absorption and the open-mindedness not to write anything off that you don't know about or you haven't tried or looked into. I have so much to learn. I'm a little baby when it comes to this NFT business. And all I want to do is, I mean, the reason I write is to learn. The reason I teach is to learn. And I just want to, like, I'm writing about NFTs and curating. I want to learn. I want to be forced to dig and learn as much as I can about the history, the people making it. I want to learn about the work being made. I just love to learn. And there's so much to know about. And I can't wait. I mean, I'm going to be doing that 15 hours a day for the next 5 days, writing about it and learning about you guys, what you collect, what you make. So exciting. It really is so exciting. I'm so lucky to be sitting here with you two, three.
That's crazy to hear because I feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm not even exaggerating. I have no vested interest in anything other than like finding this whole system has been extraordinary for me. It's fantastic.
Yeah. And same with me. Like if I didn't have an open mind to NFTs early on, like I obviously wouldn't be here. I'd be with all my buddies who like talk shit about it constantly. But it's changed my life and it's changed my opinion on what art can be and what my art can be as well. Like my own personal art, being exposed to digital artists all day, that was so new to me in painting. You study the same like 30 people and then you see like the same, same approaches a lot, whatever. But with NFTs, like I'm seeing people do animation, 3D, Blender, like, and now I'm thinking like, I'm not just a painter, I'm just an artist, so I can make things, right? So like, yeah, you get rewarded for trying out new things and like having an open mind in the scene. I think that's the best thing about it.
That's such a great point.
I ramble.
I was just teaching, what's that?
Oh, I just rambled, my bad.
I'm the rambler. I'm the great rambler. But I was just teaching today, like, I remember I was critiquing students at the Rhode Island School of Design, sculpture students. And I'll never forget, like behind me is this sculpture and it has photographs like built into it. And like the sculpture student wasn't allowed to go into the photography department to develop his own photos to put into his sculpture. And I was just teaching today, like, I was asked by NYU to teach this class on the history of design. I have really cool chairs. I don't give a shit about any, I just think whether it's a fork, a knife, a painting, a sculpture, a car, anything made with care, love, and passion is art. Art is a broad term for me. So I was just like the artists or the furniture designers and the architects that I'm teaching about, and I'm going back to the 1800s. It's people that never worked in the boundaries that were defined for them. So if you're an architect, you were meant to do the building, but not the furniture inside the building. Or if you're painting, you're not meant to do a chair or to do a poster or a sculpture. If you're a painter, if you're a sculptor, you can't do prints. And now if like you're a video artist, you're not supposed to do. And blurring these distinctions and these artificial false categorizations. I mean, a dilettante used to be a good thing. I've been shut down. Like I was just saying before, like when Prince was in this oppressive record contract, he wrote the word slave on his face and he wouldn't leave his house without the word slave painted on his face. And I made an art piece I should make an NFT out of it, where I wrote the word dealer on my face because I have to sell art to make a living. I don't want to sell art. I can't sell crack to a crackhead. I don't want to be a salesperson, but I have to because I need the money. And I made this art piece with the word dealer because people would look at me and say, you can't make art, you're a dealer. You can't teach, you're a dealer. You can write, you're not a writer, you're an art dealer. And it's like, no, I do whatever I want to do or I have to do so I could do the things I love to do. And NFTs are now giving people making it much quicker, which is what technology should do. The best role of technology is to be a tool to make humans be able to more swiftly and effectively do the things they want to do, you know? And that's what I love about this thing. It's like, it's making it possible, not yet for me, but hopefully maybe even for me at this stage of my life, to do the things. I don't like to sell art. I don't want to be an art dealer. I want to be a writer and a teacher and an artist. That's what I am. And that's how I identify myself. But because of the economic system we're in the art world, and the kind of, the art world is like the horse in Central Park with the blinders. And it just says, you can't do this, you can't do this, you can't do this. Well, tough. And really, I mean, you guys are perfect examples of people that are trailblazing the whole new universe that are going to create opportunities that we don't even know about yet. So many new things are just going to keep being born from this whole technology. And we're in the, what I also love is to be on the ground floor of something. I mean, it's crazy that when I wrote this in December, my stupid art world didn't even know what those letters had any notion of what that was. And now they all do. Once Christie announced this sale yesterday, that blew up like a, I've never seen something like a virus, not to like talk about viruses. We're in the middle of a that's a good virus. There's good viruses and bad viruses. And that's crazy good. Crazy. So cool.
I had a question kind of about viruses, funny enough. How do you see the art market after COVID? I know like we're never going to go totally back to normal, but do you think they're going to do okay? Are they going to come back? Or
it's like, such a, what, I love your
what do you think?
It's so great.
Thank you. That's cool.
So thoughtful. But it, like, art is, I think, here's a mug that I made with my little emoji. And on the back, it says, making art is the same as taking a crap. So art, I don't care. Nothing short of nuclear conflagration will affect the human capacity to make art and sell it. So since it came off the wall of the cave, it's been coveted by people. And what making art is, the thing that distinguishes us as a species, we make art the same as we go to the bathroom, the same as we, art sustains us. It sustains everybody here in this conversation. We thrive off of art. Art keeps us alive, and art gives us purpose and meaning in a life without much meaning other than something so pure and beautiful like art. So before COVID, I used to cover art fairs in my writing and auctions. And in the year 2000, there were 50 art fairs. Last year, there were 300 art fairs a year for contemporary art. And now for the past year, there's been three. And you know what? It's been kind of fantastic because people started to go to galleries again. People started looking in their local communities. I mean, I'm guilty myself. I lived in London for 15 years. It was easier for me to go to Heathrow Airport than to go to see a gallery in the East End of London. I would just get on a plane and go to an art fair and see 300 galleries in 2 hours instead of one gallery in 3 hours, which would, that would be the exact amount of time it would take to traverse across London to see a gallery. So I think like there's been a lot of hardship for small to mid-level galleries because they make most of their money on art fairs. But look at NFTs. It's going to blow the whole world open for people to make money when they can. I mean, I think I'm very bullish about art and NFTs just because I love art and I've lived through, people don't understand. Like first, there was like the financial crisis in 2008. So the art world took a big hit. It went down 30, 40, 50%. 2 years later, it was making records again. But there was a recession in 1991 before all you kiddies were born. And that lasted for like 5 or 6 years. And 300 or 400 galleries went out of business in Soho alone in New York City. So because the art world is so much broader today, and because there are so many more opportunities through social media and Nifty Gateway and those kinds of companies, that I think that the second that already there's been, I think we've turned a corner where there's been like, I don't know, in America, something like 15 million vaccines or more that have been administered. I could technically get one because I'm a professor, but I have antibodies. And I would feel badly taking the opportunity of someone who really needs it more than me from getting the shot. But the second that people have herd immunity, the second that the majority of people are vaccinated, there's going to be 400 art fairs and there's going to be NFT art fairs. I would love to see shit like that. And I think like we are so resilient as a species, and art has just we've been through world wars, nuclear war. Art is like the rock that pops up in the stream. And no matter what the obstacle is, art will find a way around it and will thrive. And these tools like NFTs, I mean, we're in the middle of the worst pandemic for 100 years. And yet there's been these Beeple thing's going to go for $1 to $3 million, could go for $5 million, doesn't matter. And maybe that won't last, that can't be sustained. And a crypto punk just went for 1.2 yesterday or something. Yeah. And you know what? Great. Is that going to last forever? Is a crypto monkey alien going to go for 10 million? Probably. Will it last? I don't know. It could, but if it doesn't, another one will. For shit, sure. It doesn't matter because it's not about the money. It's just about giving people the means to express themselves and to have it shared. Art doesn't exist. You can have a Van Gogh in a vacuum and it's nothing. It's just molecules on a canvas. If art isn't seen and shared, it doesn't exist. If I don't have an audience for my writing, my teaching, my blah, blah, blabbing, I may as well, like, there's no point. So nothing will stop art unless we are all extinguished as a race, as a humanity, because that's just what we do. We go to the bathroom, we eat, we sleep, we have sex, and we make art.
I want to paint now. That was awesome.
Yeah, that's
super. I can't wait to see more of both of your works, because I just met you, but Ferocious, I've seen some of your stuff, and, you know, it's fantastic.
Hmm. Thank you so much.
You're inspiring me.
I'm gonna cry. Thank you.
I give everyone the benefit of the doubt. I mean, I just think it's so cool that I love animals and kids because like they have the freshest mentality and they're not, you know, jaded. And I just hate people that just put up artificial kind of, I'm judgmental. I'm a critic, for Christ's sakes. And I could be I always say I'm an asshole, but I'm not another word that's worse than that I'm not going to say right now. But like, yeah, I could be a terrible, vicious person if I find people that are being dishonest or hypocritical. And I'm not a pure person myself. I've made loads of, every day I expose myself to humiliation, to failure. But those are the best people that just don't care. As long as I know, like I said before, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not breaking the law. But if you do something that's not right or hypocritical, I'm going to write about it or express it in my universe. And like in the beginning, like I said, like literally someone in New York City, 75-year-old lawyer screamed and yelled, challenging me to a fight. And I'm a coward. Like, unless I'm hiding behind my keyboard, I'm a coward. And like, I don't want to fight. I got into art so I wouldn't have to be in sports and be in these, but like art is more of a contact competitive sport than sports, you know, because the people have a very old fashioned mentality when it comes to just the way people treat people, and it's a shame, but nothing will ever stop me. And, you know, I would die for what I do because I love it and I will never stop loving it. And I will always be open to a new way for people to do it, see it, sell it. Fantastic.
Yeah, this space already opened my mind just what's possible. But I think what really blew my mind is when a collector said, oh, come to my gallery. And I said, what? And he said, do you have a headset? And I said, what? And he said, get a VR headset. And so he had a gallery in this virtual world and we're walking around and seeing it. And that moment, walking through this gallery and walking over art, and it moves as you walk on it. And there's like a bubble and you can walk in the bubble and you look around and it's this world someone designed and they sold it. Or 3D models that they sell. They sold the 3D model and then the collector put it in their virtual gallery as like a sculpture. And that blew my mind.
What platform was that on?
Somnium Space.
Right.
Somnium Space.
So you could put the goggles on in your house and go to the site and be, oh man.
Yeah, there's crazy. Decentraland where
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yeah. And then, but Somnium space.
Build galleries and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just walk around and look around, and it's so weird. It's awesome.
So you have the goggles and you just use them in your house?
Yeah.
What's the name of that gallery? I want to go check it out.
The one I went to is called Museum of Crypto Art, but it's in Somnium space.
Yep.
Insomnium.
Yes.
You can even do it on your phone too. Like, you don't need to be in VR, but yeah, going in VR is such a crazy experience for that.
Yeah.
We literally talk about VR every podcast, but it's literally like, it's been that crazy for us. So I don't care.
I love it.
There's going to be VR like major masterpieces that change the canon of art history. Within the next year, there's going to be things that are just going to change the whole discussion.
Yeah.
And I, oh man, that's another thing I have to learn about.
Yeah. It keeps it exciting. There's always something crazy to do.
Oh, cool. So yeah. Insomnium, Insomnium.
Yeah. I don't hear you the first part.
Oh, it's just Somnium. No N, right?
Somnium.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. That's so great.
Awesome.
Have you guys made VR stuff?
I've played around with it a little bit, just like drawing, but I need to get into that more for sure.
I want to make a room where you can walk through my articles and read them. And then
that would be cool.
I'm so dying to do stuff like that.
Yeah, I would love to experience that.
So cool. God, that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sell it on an NFT. You can even incorporate that into VR. Oh my God. That's
totally. Yeah.
There's so much you can do. Like, what's cool about the galleries too is it's not just a picture, it's a link to their NFT. So you'll walk through the collector's gallery and you click on the piece and it links to Nifty, showing that that's the one they own. Wow. And it's really awesome.
Someone's underwear drawer with your goggles on. And
yeah.
Incredible. Wow. So cool.
So I think we've talked for almost an hour already, but I don't think we've talked too much about your Nifty drop. Funny.
Yeah.
Can you go in more depth about that?
Who, me?
Yeah. Maybe.
Well, I mean, I'm doing this kind of, like I mentioned before, like this whole world has contributed to changing the way that I think about art. And like I said before, I'm doing this documentary now. And part of the documentary is we went to my storage in London when I was just in Europe. I just got back a few weeks ago. And the whole physicalness of my art collection it was so like, it freaked me out, to be honest. I mean, I have too much stuff and I'm just inundated with stuff. And then like you could see behind me, I got back to New York 3 weeks ago and like I'm surrounded, like nothing's terribly valuable, but they're all things that are very meaningful to me in my life. But I'm sitting in a tiny little room and I probably have 100 things in here. And I got back and for the first time, I was suffocating from my own possessions. And like you mentioned this museum, like if I had all of my stuff digitized and it would just be a lot easier mentally and physically. And so I just came back to my desk and I looked around my room and I was like, oh my God, I'm drowning. So then I had this idea and I'm in the middle of incorporating digital animation and filming. So I'm making my next film, which I'll be done with by tomorrow, is like all of the art turns against me and it turns into a monster transformer and it attacks me and then it all crumbles and pushes me down the stairs and like kills me. So I literally like, I feel myself falling down. I had my kid like filming and they filmed it in the documentary and I literally fell down my stairs and almost killed myself. Taking the final film, the final shots for the film. So I'm going to, my whole old fashioned physical art collection that I love as much as my own life basically becomes this, because I don't know, there's something really great about like collecting digital art that doesn't take up so much goddamn physical space. So it's really about this shift, which I realize the more I think about it, but in essence, it's really a kind of shift from one world to another world where, you know, Nifty Gateway and Super Rare, these are like, they're going to kill a lot of the gallery system in a way, like not kill it, because there'll always be paintings and I make sculpture and I've made this big, a few sculptures I'm working on now, but I'm most excited about these digital animations that I'm doing. And one of them is this crazy art piece transformer monster. And then, and this is another stupid thing. It's really dumb, but I'm going to tell you because you asked. But looking at the art that you guys are doing, like Moshe's, like some of your pieces, and even you're inspiring me so much, and the whole nifty stuff. So I was like, for some stupid reason, I love frogs. I can't explain why. Maybe I was a frog in my past life.
What?
One of my kids.
JW is the frog guy.
Yeah. I'm gonna find my frog right now.
I have frogs in my refrigerator, like rubber little toy. I have them everywhere. I always have. See, it's so weird. I can't explain it. But like, so I was in my bathroom. I was brushing my teeth this morning, and I had some of these stupid plastic frogs all over. And then there was like vitamins and Q-tips. And then I just had this idea. So I'm making like an animation where like the frogs are jumping around, all the pills, all the vitamins, and jumping from here to there and going ribbit, ribbit. But it's just like, literally, I started to, NFTs were changing my brain. I don't know if it's good or bad, or I need to. But like I start, like I'm starting to like in my head live in that digital NFT virtual world where like all of these static things that you take for granted, that this stupid kombucha shit that everyone like, don't have anything to say, because digital technology is like, now we're all like, it used to be like, you know, you'd have one of these green rooms, whatever you call it, when they make a movie and they have all this great special, we're all living in a world where the special effects, in a way they're not so special because we can access them in our everyday lives. And in a way it is special because everything that surrounds us takes on a new, anything is possible. That's what I love about my own work. And another piece is a really simple thing where like my phone lights up and it says scam likely. And it's like someone calling from China or somewhere trying to like, your car needs to be insured or someone. So I'd like, I made an NFT of like scam likely screen where I started, it's just everything that I see and experience is being filtered through the digital possibilities of life and what's available technologically. So all of these different, like I'm having this stupid fight with this old school art flipping lunatic who's such a yelling and screaming. So I made this digital video where we're like fighting with each other, which I just posted today on Instagram. So literally like I'm becoming like a walking NFT in person because it's changing the way that I take my vitamins in the morning. Everything's becoming like, I feel like I'm living in the middle of one of these virtual reality worlds.
It's amazing. Yeah, I love that so much.
Cool. I know, I feel like we could talk forever.
Yeah. Someone's going to come with a net and put me in a net and take me away and put me in a home for lunatics. I don't care. You know what? You know, the thing is, okay, in all seriousness, I had a pretty crummy, miserable childhood. I was just like a loser. I was bullied. I was picked on. I had no friends. I stuttered. I mean, that's why I never shut up. I couldn't even talk, for Christ's sakes. I was sat in my room for 10, 12 years of my life. And I used to just cut up magazines and stick them on my wall. And it's like art has given me a way to talk to people, to believe in myself. I mean, I'm much older than all of you, but for the first time in my life, the last like 5 years or 3 years, I'm feeling comfortable in my own skin and I'm learning how to just, I don't know, like myself. And art is helping me do this. And I'm so blessed. And I'm not complaining. I mean, it feels great to go from a place where you can't even talk out loud to someone without being scared to hear your own voice, to being able to sit with you guys and talk to all of you. It's so nice. I'm so happy about it. I really am. Corny as it sounds, you know, I really feel like, wow, it's amazing.
Yeah, no, I totally relate to that. And I'm grateful that I can feel that way young. Like I'm only 21 and starting to feel a lot more comfortable, especially because of this podcast and NFT art. Like you're really forced to put yourself out there. Yeah. And it's, yeah, it really changed my life.
Don't have your Instagram site private. Like the whole point is to like, let people know who you are. Just stop being so cautious.
Yeah.
My Instagram's private.
What's that? Yeah. Well, you know
my personal Instagram's private just because I have my producer, Twitter, and my, and I just, yeah. My for me, my family is a private thing, and I use Instagram as a tool to connect with my family that happens to be spread across like the world. And I like to keep like my family a private matter, but I do respect other people's feelings to want to share. I do. But with like my family stuff, I just keep that stuff private.
I drive my kids crazy. I'm always chasing them around with the camera, filming them, making art out of them. I don't know. I went from living my life in solitude, and now I don't care. I'm an exhibitionist. I can't help it. And I tell people that are like artists and stuff, if you're an artist, don't be private. If you're an artist, you need to have your work seen. Make it easy. Don't post pictures of every piece of food you put down your throat. I don't want to see your dog every 5 minutes. But like, even like Jerry Saltz is like, don't post your dog. Well, if you have a cute dog, I make art out of my dog. If I want to post my dog, I'll post my goddamn dog. I don't like the rules. The whole point is like, he wrote a book on how to be an artist. I became an artist because I can't follow rules. And that's the beauty of everything we're all doing. We're doing what we need to do, what we want to do, what we have to do. And we're not going to listen to me. We're not going to listen to you. I'm not going to listen to Jerry Saltz, even though I like and respect him. I mean, we just do it the way we want to do it, the way we have to do it. And we can't let other people get in the way of doing what we want to do.
No, 100%. The other day I posted a picture of me dancing and painting a guitar. And it's like, it cool. Doesn't matter.
I loved it. That was great.
Now, I'm like going crazy. It's a cute thing.
Yeah. So
cool. I love it. It's so cool. And like I was just, you know, being like, when you see how mean kids could be to each other when I was little, and I'll never forget like being picked on and being made to feel so insecure for things that are just not your fault. It's just like so weird. And it's, you know, this is beyond that. This is a way to get past that mentality. And, you know, yeah, everyone does it their own way. Ashley, you stay private. I'm pick on you.
No. You know what? I think because Ferocious is always so honest, and I just like admire that courageous. I had an abusive ex-boyfriend, and I don't like to have grant him to have the ability to have access into my life anymore. So I make that choice, but yeah. I did at one point share things with the world.
I understand. But I think it's really cool that you could do something like dancing around. I've embarrassed my kids endlessly, which I love, by the way. But like, if I dance around myself and I'm a dancing fool, and I don't care, I just don't care. And look, sometimes people like, sometimes you do something that goes a little bit too far. And what I love about the social community is if you ever transgress in a way that's just not cool, oh, you will find out very quickly. I'm sorry. That's why I'm always like this. Sorry. That's
perfect. Yeah, perfect pose.
This is all about like enabling people to not, you know, just to live freely and to be themselves.
Yeah. Well, that was amazing. I think this probably has to be my.
This was like, the best talk so I've far. Had in like life.
So. Funny because when you first started, and I'm like, what if this sucks? What if I just like have nothing to say? We don't get along. But like, you guys, my hair has been standing up for 20 minutes. And I want to say thank you. Thank you so much for opening your mind to me, because I come from another world. I'm another generation or three. And like the fact that we could share commonality and common ground. Look, I'm not kidding. Like I have goosebumps. I just want to thank you guys so much. I feel so happy to have this conversation. Really.
Oh, me too.
Yeah.
It's so happy. Like what you said about NFTs, like art. It's just like art. It's just sharing art and just being able to sell your art and express yourself just because it's art, you know. And with this, I'm just so happy that right now I know it's online and through Zoom and like all this extra stuff, but I'm just so happy that we can have this conversation, because this is such an inspiring conversation for me. And
cool. And I love that we can help one other person by listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And like we're like,
for sure,
Gandhi. How cool would that be?
Yeah.
We're basically Gandhi, so
pretty amazing how many people could say they inspired someone to make their life better for them. And that to me is all about. I don't care if I, you know, don't sell a piece for $1 zillion. It's not important. I'm living my life in a way that I'm happy to express myself, to have the opportunity to do what I want to do. Mm-hmm. it all makes it possible.